humble bottle messy, and I'm broken inside. Once again, Father, we thank you for that truth, that you poured out your life for us, that you sent your Son that we might have life to the full. As we gather, as your people here, might all we say, might all we do be worship, might it be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Well, it's great to be here. Good to be here with you. As I said earlier on to some of you, you know, actually physically seeing people in front of me is lovely. I don't know if you've struggled over the last, I know some of you have struggled over the last few months as we've not been able to meet, but it's great to be back and to be with you. Just a few pieces of news. Oh, I should say, my name is Max, if you're visiting today. I am, believe it or not, the rector. I know I'm far too young, but yeah. But some news for you before we begin. You probably get your news sheet. If you don't get your news sheet delivered by email, feel free to take home. In fact, do take home the one on your chair with you. But also you can let the office know and we'll make sure you're added to the list of people who get the news sheet by email. So what do I want to share with you? We're just trialing at the moment, recording these services as we stream. It looks as though the while the technology in-house has worked, well done, Mike. It looks as though Facebook has let us down this morning, so we're going to have to tinker with that, and I'll put this service on later on this morning. But that's worth noting, if you, for some reason, you have young people, perhaps, that cannot appear on camera, do let me know, and we will make sure that they are out of camera shot, if that's the case with anyone, or anyone that doesn't want to appear on camera. So... that is fine. Just to remind you, for some of us, after Easter began reading through the Bible again, what we're calling bite-sized Bible. If you don't already go through a reading plan of your own, do join us. You can choose to either read just the Gospels in the year, maybe just the New Testament in the year, or you can choose to read the Gospels of the New Testament and some of the Psalms and the wisdom books, or you can choose to read the whole Bible. You can join us with that and get those readings either by email. They're also on the news sheet each week, or you can pick up. My wife likes paper, so she's got a little box that she can tick off as she reads. And you can pick up a booklet, or if you want a booklet and there aren't any around, let me know. So that's fantastic news. And again, we've had to move our annual meeting, what we call our APCM, into July this year, just because the recommendation from the Church of England has been that we don't physically meet in a business meeting until after May sometime. And so we decided just to move it into the first weekend of July. Quite what's different between a business meet and run after this and this, I'm not sure, but we will honour our leadership and do that. So that's good. Well, I think that's pretty much all I have for you, except I do have a piece of exciting news. If from someone who's a bit reluctant to share it, Polly, would you like to come and join me? I'm just going to step to one side and give Polly the mic for a second on the... But some of you may know, Polly's been leading services here for some time. How many years have you been leading services, Polly? Yeah, too many years to remember. And leads us in sun worship as well, of course. But some of you may not know that Polly has been going through a process of trying to figure out what God is calling her to in the future. Would you like to tell us what's happened, Polly? You can take your mask off as you're on the mic.
Just to see whether ministry and ordination is the route I should be taking, and I'll be accepted for ordination training.
Thank you. It
starts in September and it's part-time in Portsmouth, so I'm not going anywhere.
She's been with us for a few years, yeah, but I mean, that is, that's incredible news. Not an easy thing to do, and many of you will know that Polly and Mike's life is not uncomplicated.
Busy.
Some not busy. So we'll be praying for Polly as she goes through this process. Let's be real. When you step out, there is a chance of attack. And so my advice to anyone who's going through this process is find a group of people who will pray for you. And I know that Polly's got that already, but we as her church family will continue praying over the next few years for her. So let's take a moment just to pray for her and my family. We thank you, Lord, for this calling. We thank you for the fact that people have recognised this calling in Polly. And as she works out quite what your Spirit is saying to her over the training period, we pray that the communication between you and her will be clear. That you will guide her in all that she does. We ask for protection upon her and the family. We ask, Lord, that you will constantly prompt us as her family here to be lifting her to you in prayer. We pray for the school that she leaves as they take on board this news and the way forward. And we ask for wisdom in that as well. Pour out your blessing, we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Go on, another round of applause, Lord.
That is fantastic news. And she's not let me tell you for a long time. That's mean of her, wasn't it? So. We are going through our communion service this morning. You've got the booklets on your chairs. And we're going to work our way as we share communion together. I made this service a communion service because I know many of you have missed this over the last few months. So let's take a moment to be quiet, and then we'll say our prayer of preparation together. And we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy." God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us take a moment to pause and reflect on our lives as we come before a God who is keen to forgive us. A moment of silence to do that in. And so let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all as we confess together. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, Have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen in us all goodness. And keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And in a time when we're not allowed to sing in our services, we use our Gloria as our worship, saying together, glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Of course, each week we have our collect, our prayer of the week, and a moment to be grateful to our God. I wonder what you are grateful for in this time when we're so frustrated with other things. What is it in your life that you are thankful to God for? A moment of silence for you to pray your own prayer of thanks in quiet before I pray the prayer of the week. Almighty Father, who in your great mercy gladdened the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us, that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life, and serve you continually in righteousness and truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, over the lockdown, or we've not been in our buildings, of course, we've been going through this Discipleship Explored series over Easter. I'm sure many of you have been following along with that. And this is the last week of our Discipleship Explored series. By the way, if you've missed any of those, they're all on the website. If you don't access websites and you want them on sort of a DVD, give me a shout and I can make sure that happens. But it's been a really good series to explore the book of Philippians and what that means to be our disciple, to be a disciple of Jesus. So I'm going to invite Emily up now to read us our last reading. Emily, if, again, you may not know Emily because she's only been with us for a few months, and most of that we've not been in our church buildings, have we, Emily? So Emily is currently in the same process as Polly of trying to discern if God is calling her. Calling her to vocation in the church in the future and what that might mean. I have an opinion, but that's not down to me, is it? So Emily's going to read for us from Philippians.
The reading is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 23. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. And in any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share in my distress. You, Philippians, indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in a matter of giving and receiving, except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs. more than once. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And now my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The friends who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of the Emperor's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Emily. And again, if you've missed out on them, Emily has been doing most of the Wednesday sermons, I think. I've been having a break, and Wednesdays are mostly have been Emily's sermons. Very good to go and listen to on the website. So. Normally we would stand for the gospel, but we will stay seated for this. So hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke, reading from chapter 12, starting at verse 13. Glory to you, O Lord. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said this, "What I'll do, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." And then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let's pray for a moment. And so, Lord, as we reflect on what it means to be content as a disciple in you, would your Spirit be with us this morning? Would your Spirit nudge us where we need to be nudged? Would your Spirit encourage us where we need to be encouraged? might we hear your will for our life. Amen. What is the secret of happiness? That's the question that we're really looking at today. What does it mean to be content? Some of you know, when I became a father, a dear friend came to me and gave me a quote that I've read many times since in books and seen on the internet in different places. I can't find out who actually said it originally, but it goes like this. No one ever said on their deathbed, "I wish I'd spent more time at the office." The truth is, that friend who shared that with me had looked into my very soul and saw fear. Like I said, some of you know that as a young man, my sole aim was to earn more money for fear of not having money. My early adult life was framed around that, and indeed many of my decisions later on in life still framed around that, for the fear of not having enough money. You know, I was the provider for my family. But of course, the reality is my ever-growing greed for more money to provide a better house, a better car, a better holiday was not what they needed. Thankfully, the leaving home for 12 hours a day and the concentration on providing more money was interrupted by that dear friend and God himself. I was able to turn it around in good enough time to not impact my family any more than I already had. Nevertheless, before that conversation, if you'd asked me what would make me call more content, I probably would have said something along the lines of, well, another 30,000 should do it. I wonder then what it is that you think makes you happy or you content. Is it the same as me? Was it money? Maybe good health for your family. What would make you happy? Perhaps a good indication of what you believe would make you happy is where you spend your time and your money. Where, given the choice, where would you spend your time? What is it for you? It's not an inconsiderable question for those of us who want to be disciples of Jesus, who want to apprentice to Jesus. Contentment is a serious question to ask ourselves as we come to the end of this Discipleship Explored series and the book of Philippians. The author, Paul, focuses in on contentment. He says, "I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. And I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation," as we heard read. "Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength." Why does Paul bring it to this crescendo? Why does the book of Philippians come to this point where they want to talk to us about being happy and content? Well, of course, I'd urge you to go and watch the discussion videos that parallel this series on the internet on our website. But before we go back and delve a bit more into Philippians, let me tell you about a conversation I was having this week with some friends. We were talking about relationships, not the sort of intimate wife-husband relationships or even parent-child relationships, but, the general relationships, friends, colleagues, church family, even siblings. We were talking about these relationships and how they can break down, about how often they are broken and how difficult they are to repair, how often it takes one person to be gracious and submissive and perhaps provide forgiveness even where it's not deserved. Although, of course, that does ring a bell with us, doesn't it? So. And as we chatted, we noticed one thing about how the cause of breaking of relationships. Often it seems to be around the idea of jealousy, of a perceived happiness or success in the other person. Whether that's real or not. A perception of that, we see that's where relationships can break down, or at least that's one reason where relationships can break down. And in fact, we've seen that in our gospel today. "Teacher, tell my brothers to divide the inheritance with me." Teacher, I know it's our society norm, but my older brother gets all the money. That's not fair. He's happy now. He's set up for life. That's not fair. Tell him to give me some. Of course, that man or that young man never got what he wanted from Jesus. He got quite an interesting response. He got warned that he was being greedy. He actually got warned that he was looking for contentment in the wrong place, didn't he? And then Jesus tells a parable, a story of a man who has so much that he has to build up, build bigger barns to hold all his wealth, and how that is taken away from him overnight. You can't help but see a parallel with what's going on for some people in the last year, can you? When we place our contentment on such things. Jesus says, though, to them and to him, don't worry about it. Do not chase things that others tell you will make you happy, but seek God. Seek Jesus. You will find contentment there. So as we know, Jesus is always the answer. We know that. It's always going to be the answer at the end of the day, isn't it? But there's more nuance here than simply that. In my discussion with my friends about relationships, we spotted one link, one result of broken relationships. A lack of contentment or discontentment, if you will, leads to disunity. When you worry and focus on what others tell you will make you happy, and then you start worrying about what someone else has more than you, it leads to a lack of unity. And then I did go back to Philippians, and I was surprised to see something in that last chapter, chapter 4. You see, in chapter 4, Paul is talking in verses 4 to 20 about rejoicing in Jesus, which we heard about last week, and then being content in Christ as well, which is our subject for this week. But did you notice something else about the structure? It's bookended with one thing. The first few verses, 1 to 3, Paul is talking to some church leaders. In fact, it says Paul is pleading. The great Paul, the great teacher, the great church maker, is pleading with a couple of church leaders to be unified. Even in their difference, to have unity. You go back and read verses 1 to 3, you'll see that. And then at the other end, as he comes in to finish, he talks about how we should be gracious to one another, doesn't he? He says this, he says, greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings. Unity, unity, unity. Especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Even those who have me trained up right now, he says, who know Jesus, you should be unified with. It's interesting that Paul has chosen to bookend this message with that. Greet all God's people the same. Paul's secret to happiness is in contentment, is to do with unity. It's to do with being content with where God has placed you, yes. It's to do with being content with what God has given you, yes. But ultimately, if we delve deeper, it's about unity with his church, unity with his community. Paul's secret to happiness is unity. Now it comes to the tough bit, doesn't it? How does that impact us tomorrow morning? What are you chasing? What's happiness for you? Is it like it was for me? It may not be. It may not be about money, but it may be about something else. Or is it about unity? I want to say to you that if there are broken relationships in your world, it won't matter how much health you have. It won't matter that you're fully healthy. It won't. If you want possessions, it won't matter how many possessions you have. If you have broken relationships in your life, you're going to find it incredibly difficult to find peace and contentment. I think that's what Paul's message is to us. See, we chase adverts from Facebook or adverts from magazines or on the television, assuming that what they're selling us in terms of happiness is true, but actually, it's about unity. Now, I'm not suggesting that all relationships can be repaired. That's the consequence of sin sometimes, isn't it? Not all relationships can be. But what I am saying is I believe that if you do your bit, God will bring you peace and contentment. I believe healing will come. Or as Paul puts it, you can do all this through him who gives you strength. You can seek unity through him who gives you strength. That's an often misquoted line, isn't it? It's not a line that says you are superhuman, you can do anything you want. That's not what it's saying. It's a promise that says when we find our contentment in Christ, we will have the strength to see that through. When we love people in unity with the Holy Spirit and those he created, we will be at peace and contented. And can you imagine what that would do to your life if you were able to be in that place? This is the life to the full that Christ talks about, isn't it? How your well-being would be so up there, wouldn't it? Up there with the Spirit, that your well-being would be there. Can you imagine a church who was at peace with itself and others? Can you imagine what God would use that for? If we could build relationships rather than break them down, if we could unify, can you imagine how God would use his people here in Bedhampton, in London? The growth of God's people in Bedhampton would explode. But more so than that, the Holy Spirit in your life, the impact of the Holy Spirit in your life would explode. There would be an explosion of that. The contentment in your life and the peace beyond all understanding would fall upon you. Now that is the secret of happiness. That is, and it's within your grasp. The secret of happiness is within your grasp if only you would step up. And you, of course, can do all this. You can do all of this through him who gives you strength. I was going to have Polly and Mike play a little bit while I prepared the table earlier on, but I think I'm going to ask them to stand up now and just play a song for us while we reflect on that, because I just get the feeling that God is doing some work in some of us. And I put my hand up to that as well. He's doing some work in me. I've got some relationships to repair as well. And so we're going to, Polly and Mike are going to lead us as we reflect on what our response to that word might be.
What can be said? What can be sown? As
Holy Spirit, we thank you that you engage with us, that you speak with us. Might we have courage to act. Might we trust in you. Amen. If anything I've said this morning, or anything that God has said more importantly to you this morning, has led you to want to think about sharing that with someone or having some prayer, I'm going to be cheeky and ask Rosalind and Peter to come up here at the end of the service. They won't mind that because, well, basically half the problem I'm here is his fault, so he deserves it. but they will pray for anyone who needs prayer this morning. And they'll be quite happy to stand there alone. That's not a problem for them. But if you do have the courage to come for that prayer, then please come and see Rosalind and Peter at the end. We're going to turn to our creed as we declare what we believe together. And so we say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We're going to have our prayers now. Just seeing if Flair was available or not, but she looks as though she is available. And as Flair leads us in our prayers, God can cope with you praying as well. You know, he can receive both messages at the same time. So. Thank you, Flair.
I always feel like I'm leaving surgery. I'm walking out and do something dramatic. Anyway, good morning. It's lovely to see you all. It's lovely to be here. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for all the gifts and blessings you have given us. Thank you for all the opportunities we have to share our gifts with others. Thank you that we have everything we need. Thank you that we are loved and cared for beyond measure. Thank you that we need not worry. We are as blessed as the lilies in the field. Help us to trust that our blessings can and should be shared. Help us to understand where we are storing up our blessings. Help us to realise where we are not being rich towards God. Father, shine a light in our lives where we could be better. Father, this week we thank you for the life and service of the Duke of Edinburgh. We thank you that he and the Queen lived strong and faithful lives of service and publicly recognised their faith and their trust in you. In the passing of Prince Philip, may you continue to protect and support Queen Elizabeth. We thank you for their service to our country and to you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet together again to praise and worship you, our King, Saviour and Father. Father, we pray for those at home watching this service and ask that you bless them. Father, we ask that you bring unity to this church and to the wider church, and unity within our own homes. We recognise that although we are and have been apart, you are Lord of all. Father, be at the centre of our lives and bridge any distance between us. Father, we collectively pray now for those who aren't well, for those who need support, and for those who are grieving. Father, we believe in your healing power and ask that you supply all those named with compassion, strength, and healing. Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Blair.
You may have noticed as an interim we're having some tables at the back for those who have children in their families and want to join us on a Sunday. Do be praying as we move forward as well, though, about the future of young people and children in this church, because we want to bless them as God's church today as well as in the future. So be praying for that. So we come to that moment where we share the peace. And again, we're not allowed to move around and share the peace as we would normally hope to. But nevertheless, we can share that unity together here now. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's give us that nod of peace to one another, shall we? I've got to be careful. I got told by someone before we locked down that the wafer tasted like sanitizer. So we're going to use Prayer B this morning, which is just a continuation, I think, in your booklets. But before we do that, let us thank God for a provision during the last year. You may not be aware of this, and it's sort of breaking news, as it were, but we will break even this year as a church. But there is no right for us to break even as a church this year with all that we haven't received in our normal circumstances. And yet, through the generosity of God's people and the movement of the Holy Spirit, we will break even. So we have much to be thankful for as we say this together. So let's say together, gracious God, accept these gifts and with them our lives to be used in your service. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son. Born of the Blessed Virgin, he lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant by the power of your Holy Spirit, and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption as we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. And so from page 12, we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in the one bread. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. So friends, draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean, our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat the crumbs from under your table. But you, Lord, are the God of our salvation, and share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us and we in him, and that we, with the whole company of Christ, may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen. If you know and love the Lord Jesus, you are welcome to share communion with us this morning. I'll be sharing the bread and receiving the wine for all of us. It's been a long tradition in the Anglican communion that when you receive one or the other of the communion, you have received full communion. And I will come to you. If you don't want to receive communion, it's just rather a short prayer, then simply if you hold your hands down, I will know that's the case and I will pray for you briefly and move on.
All these little nuances I have to remember. Thank you.
Jesus receives for all those who are not able to receive this morning. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for all God's people. Amen. Living God, you made your Son known to his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in all his redeeming work, who is alive and reigns with you now and forever. Amen. And we say our thanks together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We who the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, it's been lovely to receive communion among God's people this morning. I felt somewhat privileged, but also sad, receiving communion on my own for the last few months. So it's been lovely to do that this morning. Do leave your booklets on your desk. They'll be quarantined for the next week, and we can come back to those when we need them. Do take home the news sheet, please. It makes it easier for us if you take that with you. And then you can read what's going on. But don't forget, if you feel that you need prayer for any reason this morning, Rosalind and Peter will be up here in a moment offering prayer for me. And also, if you want to have a conversation at all about anything at all, either about what's going on today or anything you see going on in the parish around us, then please just get in touch with me. And finally, if I could just ask for your prayers, tomorrow we are finally interviewing for our replacement administrator tomorrow. I know that you will be glad. I am glad. I think my wife may be more happy than the rest of us that her husband isn't being the administrator as well. So that'd be good. So you'll be praying for that tomorrow as we interview. But for now, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you very much.